apologize for watching a movie we're not going to talk
about. Which one?
American Satan from a couple years ago.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, how was it?
He would hate it for sure. it's not... Goldberg's in it.
Oh!
He plays the road... the tour manager.
So he has to like movie.
He has to like shoot up the lead singer because he's withdrawing from heroin and the to get him on stage. There's 20,000 people and if he doesn't, you know, if the band doesn't, you know, you've heard like when Guns N' Roses doesn't show up or whatever, they start rioting.
Yeah.
So they had to. I don't know. It's
sounds like an uplifting film.
Malcolm McDowell plays the devil, and they have to kill people in order to become famous.
Oh, all right.
Welcome to the Everyone's a Critic Movie Review Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bob Zarrell.
I get people off! I look for the one guy who isn't getting off, and I make him get off.
With me, as always, is professional film critic Sean Patrick.
I am the smart! S-M-R-T! I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T!
And special co-host, Zach Covemaker. Is that how you pronounce
yeah,
it?
Yeah. What's up?
Sorry, I forgot to make a clip, and that was built in here in a lot longer than I thought it would be.
It's all good.
Visit us at ihatecritics.net, everyonesacriticpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our handle is criticspod. Like us there, subscribe to the show, rate and review the shows. We'll read your reviews on the air. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Alexa, Stitcher, all your podcatchers. If you want to listen to us there. And Patreon, ihatecritics.net/Patreon is the best way to help support the podcast. There's also a PayPal link there in our podcast merch. We'll get credit on the show. And as always, tell your friends, spread the word, and let's get to this week's show. So like I said, we have a guest host, Zach Covemaker. You brought him to the show,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, Zach and I have been friends for years. Worked at a movie theater together.
Yep.
Yeah. And he knows movies, and he's tortured himself all week with X-Men movies.
Oh, God. It's been awful, dude. I've never drank so much on a work night before. It's awful, dude.
We'll get there. Let's get through these trailers.
All right. We'll start with a trailer he hasn't seen, Ad Astra.
Ad Astra, Brad Pitt going to space to battle his dad, Tommy Lee Jones, I guess. I don't know. All the movie stars are going to space these days. They used to want to be rock stars. Now they want to be astronauts. You know, Natalie Portman's going to space. Sandra Bullock got an Oscar for going to space. I guess that's just where you want to go now. But the idea here, I guess, Brad Pitt's an astronaut. What do you want? I don't know. It's good. It's all right. It's the movie that Josh is most looking forward to. He commented on our page and talked about it. And
he does love space, though.
He does love space. He wants to go to space.
Well, no, I mean, he would, like, right now, he would not necessarily end his life, but basically end his life to just float through space and send data back to, if they would let him. And I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, he's dead serious he would do that. And I understand that to a degree. Mm-hmm. At the same time.
Well, I mean, the president thinks that Mars is part of, or the moon is part of the part of
well,
Mars.
Yeah, there's
so.
That. There's that.
there's a lot. Apparently, we need a lot of data up there.
Yeah,
we're going to need to send somebody up there to tell the president.
My guess,
that they're not the same planet.
Knowing Josh, is he would wait till he was out of office to go on this trip. Now, most likely he'd want to send somebody. I think he'd really want someone educated to go, but he'd happily go along. Mm-hmm. And I get. I mean, there's. I don't know. That's a lot of space out there, but I don't know. Sometimes, and I think we'll get it with another trailer here, when you put too much going on, space by itself is scary, and it's interesting. When you start adding, you know, this fight with your dad in space.
It's in there.
Maybe it's not necessary, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what they're doing with this movie.
No, I don't either.
It could be fantastic.
It's far more serious than I described it, but it's also coming out in September. In the immediate wake of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so it's going to get run over by other Brad Pitt content. I don't know how serious they're taking this movie.
plus Rambo is going to kick its ass.
It's opening the same weekend as Rambo.
Oh, God.
We'll have to have Josh on that week. Where... Now, if it was, if, what's his name, Chris Nolan made it, I'd definitely be out.
I forgot. Who directed this? Oh, man.
It was, he made...
And I wrote an article about it.
I'm trying to think about your article.
It's that memorable. That's what... I don't know, man. Hearing Brad Pitt fight his dad in space sounds kind of awesome to me.
His dad, Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm in. Some backwards Star Wars bullshit. I'm in, dude.
James Gray.
Oh, right. Yeah, the director of The Yards and We Own the Night.
And they're definitely playing it serious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... You know, Josh is probably like, I'm never coming back on now. Well, that's what you get when you leave it up to me and Sean to talk about these space movies. Then there's Ford versus Ferrari, Matt Damon and Christian Bale.
Interesting. Hopefully it's better than Rush, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. You got two huge movie stars.
They
so.
Are.
Yeah, but like, it's also James Mangold, so like, flip a coin. You that's never true. Know.
That is a good
You
point.
Never know. Could be great. It could just be a giant turd.
Yeah.
Who knows, dude? But we got Matt Damon. Matt Damon and Christian Bale racing cars.
Yeah, I'm kind of in. Matt Damon's playing Shelby, the guy who created that car that Nicolas Cage tried to steal. Gone in 60 seconds.
Oh, God. I always forget about that movie.
Yeah, I can't forget about it for some reason. It keeps following me around. That movie stayed with me for years.
You should do a classic on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna have to change the title of that segment. It's kind of classic movie that came out a long time ago.
Dumpster fires from the past.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I like Matt Damon and Christian Bale. So, and I, like you said, James Mangold, he does knock it out of the park here and there. Mm-hmm. So, and I gotta imagine with those two and him combined, it's gonna be one of his good ones. Mm-hmm. But
did Bale kind of look a little bit like he did in The Fighter?
Yeah,
it kind of looks like that. It's weird.
Right. Matt Damon looked like Matt Damon. 47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
Yeah. This is the sequel to the movie with Mandy Moore. They got trapped inside a shark cage. This time there's no cage, so it's uncaged. Sylvester Stallone's daughter's in it. That's pretty much it. This is this company sucks. They've had one hit movie, and one that's the only good movie they made is 47 Meters Down, I think.
Right.
And just to put the little cherry on the top of the release of this movie, they've used the hashtag sharkbait as their online selling point, and realize not even taking care for the fact that a month before this, they're releasing a documentary about the surfer who got her arm bit off by a shark. So, classy move, guys.
Oh.
That's what they should have called that movie. Yeah, similar to the dad fighting your dad in space movie. Now, again, they are doing it serious, and I'm just being a dick. But this is a shark movie that they've now done this like Mayan ruin thing underneath. Mm-hmm. That's totally unnecessary to running away from sharks. So... I don't know. Underwater, the ocean is scary enough as it is. Mm-hmm. Throwing this Mayan underground world where a shark lives is not, I don't know, a little too much. Although we totally skipped 47 Meters Down.
Yeah, we did. We just totally didn't talk about it.
I never even watched it.
Yeah.
But it got a decent buzz. It has a little cult following.
It was okay. I like Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford her for the sequel. She's on This Is Us now. She doesn't have time for these people.
Nah, she's getting those Emmys.
Yeah.
She does not care.
And then The Lion King.
Ooh. Brand new Lion King trailer. I still don't understand the necessity of The Lion King, because you can't necessarily call this a live-action Lion King. Those aren't real animals.
Really?
I mean, they've definitely crossed the uncanny valley in the most spectacular way. I don't understand the point or purpose of it.
Nah, I grew up on that, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But I'm also completely on board. Even if it's shot for shot the same exact movie, I'm kind of on board. I liked the Jungle Book. I loved that. Like, kind of caught me off guard. I kind of want to see that again. And, I mean, Seth Rogen is Pumbaa, man. Like, that's, like, the perfect casting. I know, like, a lot of people kind of have their gripes on him, but seeing Pumbaa go out there and do that Seth Rogen laugh is kind of the only thing I live for. Like, that's the only thing I want in life.
Yeah, and I'm a Jon Favreau fan. He makes the most watchable movies in the world. Not necessarily great, but definitely watchable. And, I mean, the only point to this is money. That's,
oh, yeah. That was the thing that held me back about Aladdin. Is there are elements I like of it, but it's so mercenary.
It's very safe. Like, it's just, like, the safest move you can take. Mm-hmm. Don't take any risks. Just pull in all that millennial money. Like, that's just kind of like Disney's whole shtick now, and I'm kind of on board, but also, like, I come from a Disney family, so I was kind of, like, raised in the cult.
Well, I mean, I kind of was, too, and I get Cinderella, because at least that, I mean, it was, like, that's almost a different generation of cartoon. This, you know, was Aladdin and Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, and eventually, I can't imagine I'll do Pocahontas, but who knows.
Yeah. Little Mermaid's coming.
Little Mermaid's right there, so it's...
I forgot about that.
And Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, they both added a song that wasn't good, that didn't add to the movie, just added time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Favreau doesn't do that, or if he does, they go back and get Elton John. And
I heard that Donald Glover and Beyonce did make a song for it. I don't know if it's going to actually be in the movie or if it's just going to be like something they play during the credits, but I heard that they did make a song together, so... Mm. I mean, they're both talented, so maybe it'll be listenable. I mean, I haven't seen Aladdin yet, but I heard there's a pretty sick genie rap in there. But
I'll be honest, I haven't had Prince Ali out of my head in a long time. It's been weeks since I saw that movie, and it's still there.
Oh God.
I mean, I think Aladdin was good for what it was trying to do, and I think Lion King looks better than that. But I also think the cartoon was better than the cartoon Aladdin. So, other than Robin Williams, I think is the best part of both those movies. So we'll see. I don't know. And then Jordan Peele interviewed Ari Aster, the director of Us, interviews the director of Midsommar.
I'm so excited about this. Just I read it's in the new Fangoria, and I read the interview and. I'm Jordan Peele talking about this is the most obscene thing I've seen, talking about the final act and how just obscene the final act is. I cannot wait.
Oh, man. That's going to be great.
Oh, yeah, the way Jordan Peele talked about it was the way Hereditary ended.
Yeah.
So it was like...
Watching it with your mouth open, just...
I'm not ready for that. I still have nightmares over that. Like, Hereditary still to this day fucks me up, man. Like, here we go. Gonna be in the daytime this time, so yeah. You're gonna see everything.
That was so great. That's such a great touch. Yeah,
part of me wishes, and I've said it before, but that they would just stopped with that first trailer and just made you wait. I know that doesn't bring anybody other than like the small Hereditary audience that liked it, because a lot of people checked out halfway through that movie.
I wonder why.
But at the same time, I'm excited about it, but I don't want to see any more about it. But this interview, you know, you got probably the two most relevant horror directors at the moment, one being very humble.
Yeah. And the other, did you see what Ari Aster said? He still wasn't sure he made a complete piece of shit or not.
But that's how you know you're at least trying, you know. Yeah. All of, between the four movies they've made between the two of them are, you know, you make one wrong step in either of those movies and they fall apart. Mm-hmm. So
what was your take on Us?
Oh, I loved it. I actually, like, it confuses me. I still need to watch it again, because there's some aspects of it, like the twist. I'm still not 100% on it, but I enjoyed it a lot. Like, it wasn't really a horror movie. It was more like just a really cool, like, action film at times, and that was fun. Like, the choreographed fight scene to I Got Five on it was just excellent. Excellent. But, I definitely need to watch it again. Now it's on digital, I think, this past week, so I'm going to probably pick it up.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a movie to watch over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
And pick up something new every time. Speaking of movies like that, The Secret Life of Pets 2.
Oh, yeah. Secret Life of Pets 2 is a three-track story featuring the voices of Patton Oswalt and several others, but Patton Oswalt plays Max, and he's got a partner named Duke, and they're dealing with having a new baby in the house. Since the last movie ended, the mother, their owner has met a guy, fallen in love, and had a baby, and now Max is all concerned that the baby's going to get hurt, so he doesn't want the baby going out in the world without him. And that leads them to a farm where they're going to, the family takes him to a farm and they're going to hang out at this farm. And Harrison Ford is there as an older dog who's very tough and manly and rugged. And he's going to teach Max how to be tough and manly and rugged. And he's going to take those lessons back home with him. The second track of the story has Max's girlfriend, who I don't know her voice. She loses his ball and she has to get it back from this house that has all these cats in it. And then the third track has Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish trying to free a tiger from a circus, and they're battling wolves.
I have to imagine that was the best track. Maybe not.
I would say Harrison Ford is probably the funniest thing in the movie because he's being...
Because he didn't know he was doing the movie.
He's being very Harrison Ford. Yeah, they're out. He's just gruff and
they just
dickish.
Recorded him... The pitch of this movie.
So yeah, there's not that many laughs. Kevin Hart's, you know, energetic, and Patton Oswalt's pretty limited. They don't really have much for him to do as the straight man, so he doesn't really have much to work with as a character, just being kind of scared and then not scared. It's inoffensive. It's forgettable. It's already begun to lift away, and I don't really have much else to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I got a 7-year-old. This should be in his wheelhouse. And he was like, I'll go, but I don't really... He wanted to watch the Undisputed Classic that we're going to get to later again instead. he wanted to watch this more than the X-Men movie, which...
I kind of did too.
But he never fought to go, so we just never ended up going. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I like this podcast, but I don't know if me seeing Secret Life of Pets 2 would have added much to
not
it.
Really.
So now I guess the question is this the same company that did Boss Baby or no?
I don't remember.
I believe
where
that
Boss
was
Baby came
Sony.
From.
I believe that was Sony.
Because it's almost like that story backwards with they're getting a, wasn't it that they're getting a puppy or puppies were cuter or something? Oh no, I don't remember what it was. That's what
babies.
It was puppies.
Babies
right?
were fighting puppies because the babies were trying to stop puppies because they were cuter than them.
Right.
And no, this is just Toy Story with pets. That's all this is.
That's aimed a little higher. move right along to... Well, I know the audience loved it, the critics hated it, so there's that. But, like you said, forgettable movie. The audience probably won't remember next week.
Yeah, no, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's pleasant, and it's forgettable.
It's going to be one of those that's probably going to blow up on Netflix. Like, yeah. Once it goes to Netflix, it's going to be, like, everyone's just, like, background movie or something like that. Like, the first one, like, everyone watched it for really no reason other than just to have something on. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends would just be sitting there watching it. I'd be like, okay. But I think that's really going to be where its niche is. Like,
yeah. The first one now, of course, is part of cancel culture because Louis C.K. was the voice of Max in the first
movie.
Yeah,
that guy was a jerk off.
Pun intended. Yeah, I know that movie, my son saw it and he liked it, but when he attaches to a movie, he watches it a lot. And right now it's those stupid dragon movies. He was not, this was a very brief, the first one came and went. So he's aware that it exists, I guess, but not really.
And the most notable thing about this is that at the movie theater, they're selling Max stuffed dolls for $25 each.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
$25 for a stuffed animal.
That's what they charge for a large popcorn with a special, at least the Regal one does. Get the Avengers one with the Avengers Cup, $25. Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix, the latest in the X-Men franchise. There are aspects of this that kind of work, and a lot of it that doesn't, so I don't recommend it. But the story picks up after Apocalypse with Jean Grey, played by Sophie Turner. They're going into space this time, and she is going to absorb some space energy of some sort, and she becomes Phoenix, I guess. And she comes back to Earth, and her powers are out of control, and her emotions are raging everywhere, and she's breaking down the barriers that Charles Xavier had put in her mind to keep her from knowing that her father had rejected her as a child because she killed her mother in a car accident. How dumb is this, by the way, just by description? Just how stupid does this sound?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But Sophie Turner actually makes a lot of it work. She's very good in this role. She's working really hard. And it sucks for her that she's opposite Jennifer Lawrence. Is like, come on, kill me. Just throw me in the thing, kill me. I want to leave now. Just throw me against the thing and kill me. Can you just kill me already? She is so angry in this movie. She does not want to be here. You can read it in her face. You can read it in the body language, in the lame makeup they put her in, because she's like, I'm not staying in the makeup. You're going to have to do that. Just slap a mask on me or something. I'm not going to stay in makeup. Get me out of here.
She looked like a bad Halloween costume. She looked really bad.
There's a final scene where you just see a picture of her on somebody's desk. It is hilariously bad.
Oh, man.
This movie is not very good. And the thing about it is that they've taken this, and I don't care about the comic books. I don't know if you care about the comic books.
I do, but I also understand that, like, this movie, it felt like someone just read the Wikipedia article on it and then just didn't even take notes. So I, like, we're not even going to discuss that crap.
I don't care if there are aliens in the original comic book story or not. They don't fit. They don't need aliens in this movie. There are aliens in this movie. Jessica Chastain is an alien. Her race has been wiped out by this force that Jean Grey has taken in, and they want it. And this space juice or whatever the hell it is that goes into her and creates the Phoenix character, its powers are unlimited. She can do anything, and yet the movie doesn't know what to do with that. And then can Jessica Chastain take the power from her, or is she afraid of the power? I don't know, but if she could just take it, why doesn't she just do that? Just take it, because Sophie Turner doesn't want it. Jean Grey doesn't want the power, so if she can take it, take it.
Yeah, I really didn't understand what they were doing with her. Like, the whole alien part, dude. Like, they spent the first half hour of the film just running around giving people titty twisters.
Accurate.
Yeah, they'd literally walk up, make your chest, like, turn into a spiral, this, like, and then you'd thing, walk away. Yeah. It was weird. And it didn't fit. Like, no. You could have taken that completely out of the story, and barely anything would have changed.
I mean, that's a much better story, actually. You know, the what they have among the X-Men, with when they throw in Magneto into the story, when he comes into it about an hour in, because Michael Fassbender didn't want to be there either, apparently.
He looks good for 61, though.
Yeah. you can take the two sides of the X-Men. So you've got Jean, who's just done this thing where she's killed one of the other characters. You see it in the trailer, you know who it is. He kills Rogue. She kills her, and then you divide them up into, or is it Mystique?
It's Mystique, whatever. Yeah. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
One of them.
Yeah.
She kills her, and then you divide up the X-Men between those who think that they can still get to her and reach her and change her back to Jean, and those who think she needs to be killed. And there's your conflict. You've got two sides of a conflict, and her in the middle. That's a good story, and she's doing a lot of work. You throw in the Jessica Chastain aliens, and you're just prolonging the movie with unnecessary action among a group of characters whose powers are also seemingly unlimited and understandable, because at certain points, they're riddled with bullets, just riddled with bullets, and then pulling themselves back together and continuing to come at the X-Men, and then other times they're able to punch them and knock them out. And
some bullets kill them.
Some bullets kill them. It doesn't make any sense. These aliens are just completely unnecessary, and they ruin much of the movie, and that's saying something. This is two times in a row that the makers of X-Men have taken two of our best actors and just wasted them. It was Oscar Isaac in Apocalypse, and now they've taken Jessica Chastain and completely wasted her. X-Men, stay away from our best actors.
Yeah.
Stay away.
I just don't get how they just don't ever explain the fact that, like, she uses the Phoenix Force to kill Apocalypse in the last movie, and then all of a sudden in this one it's like, oh, now you get it. Like, it's just like there is no, like,
yeah,
there's no actual storyline. Magneto, last movie, literally tried to end the world. And now they're like, here's a plot of land. Don't kill us. It's okay. Like, it, none of this makes sense.
I completely forgot about Apocalypse.
Yeah, there's like a 10-year gap. We don't know what happened. It's just dumb. It's dumb.
Charles Xavier now has a phone in his office that goes directly to the president. Why? I don't know.
Powerpuff Girls shit.
These movies make any sense at all?
No. No, like, I'm into this stuff, and I don't understand any of it. All I say is just watch Deadpool, you're good. Deadpool 2, Deadpool 2 is a way better X-Men movie than anyone else can even attempt. Like, they're not even trying anymore.
So did you get anything from watching the last time the Phoenix was brought up in the previous, the Brett Ratner movie?
Oh, God, no. No, that's the only thing I took away from that movie is I'm the Juggernaut bitch. Like, that's it. Everything else is just like... It's just like Hot Topic bullshit. Oh. I don't like it.
So how many, you watched all of them?
Yeah, all of them that didn't have Wolverine in the title.
Ah.
Yeah, so yeah, it was awful. It wasn't a good time. Yeah, I had to space it out, because especially with like X-Men United and then like parts of Apocalypse, I just had to start drinking. I had to stop and start mixing a couple drinks. Like there's nothing you can do to make these movies like... an actual enjoyable time. And that's unfortunate, because X-Men's kind of near and dear to my heart. Like, I really want to like Dark Phoenix. Mm-hmm. There's parts that I like. Like, there's a couple fight scenes that looked really cool, but as a whole, it's just a turd. Like, yeah. All of these are.
As a kid, I was more into X. I didn't even know what the Avengers were.
Yeah.
So, to me, that would have been the one to not mess up. They're more popular than the Avengers, I'm assuming, since I knew one, not the other. But... you know, once it started to fall apart, instead of trying to hold it together and just keep moving on, blow it up and start over. Yeah. You know, Spider-Man's done it twice now. So why, and you know, Fantastic Four's done it, what looks like at least twice. Mm-hmm. Start over. You saw how Avengers did it. It wouldn't be that hard to do right.
Well, they did start over, though.
But then they combined them again.
True, true.
Yeah, what they were apparently planning on doing, like, Matthew Vaughn had, like, a plan, and Days of Future Past was supposed to be the end, not the second movie right. in the series, because doing that just ruins it. You know who's going to survive, you know who's going to be, like still on top and still at the school and everything. Why even do that movie so early? Like, none of this makes sense.
Mm-mm. And you get, like, 2.5 good movies. The first movie is just kind of like, here's all the characters. Mm-hmm. There's no movie. It's just, there's Sabretooth, there's this person, there's Storm, there's... The second one's an actual story. It's pretty entertaining, a good action movie. The one that Matthew Vaughn did was good. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of them are just kind of, at best.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's Logan excluded, you know, or in the Deadpool movies, because mm-hmm. they're almost in their own little world. Mm-hmm. Even though they're in the... I don't know, it's...
Well, there was, like, an ongoing joke online after, like, X-Men 3 came out that the porn parodies were way better films. And, like, the costume design is way better, like, I'll admit. But, like they can do better than that. They can do way better than that. Like, this is... All they have to do is follow the animated series from the 90s. Like, just follow that. Everyone loves that. Like, you can do something great there.
Disney's going to do that in about 3 years.
I'm fine with that. That's what I want. This works more as a TV show, not these, like, big, like, budget movies. Because the big budget movies, just, they're clearly not working.
Without, you know, having a plan similar to TV, where, like, kind of did with Avengers, here's where we want to go with it and map it out. That's the only way to make X-Men work. You can't just mm-hmm. be like, let's do this story now. I mean, I guess you could, but, you know, it doesn't work, at least for me.
Are you just going to piss off the fans by just continually bringing up, like, their comic book greatest hits in each movie? Like, don't they do that? With every time they introduce a character, they grab a piece of something they did in a comic book, mm-hmm. and then they take that little chunk of the comic book and they put it in the movie.
Yep, and then they try to build a whole movie around that one little moment, and it's just kind of... It's dumb.
See, what I would do is, you know, kind of what they're doing with Joker, you know, just has its own movie that's by itself. It is what it is. It begins and ends there. There's nothing else. You could do things like that. You could then take things like, you know, The Dark Knight or The Killing Joke, some sort of story, and make a movie or a trilogy around that and then be done. But quit trying to make these, unless you're going to really map it out like they did with The Avengers, which even then has its flaws. It was mm-hmm. just... the most well-done version of that. You know, do it that way as a one-off you know, trilogy or something like that, as opposed to trying to make these giant worlds that you can't keep up with.
Yeah, like, and if you're going to do the giant world thing, just, like, don't, if you have this guy, like, Simon Kinberg on there, and he screws up royally like he did with X-Men 3, don't let him try again. Mm-hmm. Just tell him, sorry, man, you're gone, we'll bring in James Gunn or someone, like...
Yeah, they really invested a lot in Simon Kinberg. He's been such a big part of this complete failure of this franchise. And they let him direct this time. Like, what is this guy? What kind of stuff does he have on these producers that he continues to be involved here when this thing has failed repeatedly?
Well, with the whole Matthew Vaughn thing, like, he had his own little idea. Then, like,
what is his name?
Pedophile guy.
Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer. He wanted to come back or something like that, and then...
Something like that, yeah.
Just kind of ruined where they were going to go with it. Like, they maybe had a shot to save everything, which is when you got Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Fassbender on board. Or was she, were they in that movie, or...?
They were in...
They were in First Class.
Yeah, they were in First Class.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Yeah, then they get stuck in some long-term contract they can't get out of.
Alright. Poor Jennifer Lawrence. She was so miserable.
I know. McAvoy seemed kind of miserable, too.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, I get that at first they were going for a more, like, human Professor Xavier, but then he just turned into an asshole. Like, he just wasn't really, like, he wasn't that bald guy that we know and love. Like, he was just this douchebag who loves to drink and, like, yell at his students. It was just dumb.
Yeah, he gets a big head because he's got the, you know, the direct line to the president.
You're a mutant. Who cares? Yeah. I mean, you're in theory better than the president. All right. I Am Mother.
I Am Mother. Clara Rudard, I believe, is the name of this young actress, a very good young actress, starring in a movie about a future society where we pick up the story on the day that humanity is brought to an end, as we understand it. And... she's born that day. There's this robot that wakes up underground and has all these, like, hundreds of thousands of embryos and chooses one to be the first child and grows her from an embryo to a teenager and acts as her mother and tells her that the outside world is toxic and she can't go outside. And she's going to come to find, of course, that there are forces outside that are trying to get in, and one of them does, and Hilary Swank. And then she's got this sort of two tracks of story going where, you know, she doesn't know who to believe. Does she believe Mother Robot, who's been there her whole life, but is also a robot designed like the robots outside that are killing people? Or does she buy into this woman who's claims to have been escaping from the robots and... as telling her that there may be other people out there. And both of them are lying to her in some way. And she's got to figure out which lie to believe, which is a fascinating story. I think the movie is dragged out a little bit in terms of telling that story and telling, you know, it gets kind of exhausting trying to track which robot or human is lying more. And you kind of want them to make up your mind. Which one is she supposed to believe and go with? Make up your mind. Get there. But, like, the imagery is pretty strong. And I loved the robot. Rose Byrne is the voice of the robot, and she's pretty great as the voice of the robot. And she's got a great control over her voice. She can be kind, and she can be menacing, and it really works. And Hilary Swank is quite good as this character who's, you know, feral, basically, just barely talkative at first, and then almost a con man after that. And they've got a little bit of a twist with her in the end that's pretty interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. Kind of also sequel bait in a weird way. I don't know. I like it. I don't love it because, again, I think they drag it out too long.
Yeah, I feel like if they cut, like, 15 minutes out, I'd probably be, like, just gushing over it. Because it is a gorgeous film. And from what I've heard, it's fairly low budget, too. Like, I heard that I couldn't actually find a number on it, but I heard that it didn't cost much. Hmm. And it didn't look like it. Like, it looked pretty good, especially the robots.
It played at Sundance, and that's where Netflix bought it.
Oh, really?
Sundance.
Yeah, it was a great time. I actually didn't know anything about it. I was I watched Always Be My Maybe last night, and then I heard about I Am Mother, and I didn't realize that I picked the romantic comedy over the cool sci-fi robot movie, so I had to fix that. And it was a good time. I don't think I'll watch it again, because I feel like it's just a little too long for me to want to rewatch it, but definitely recommend it.
I actually made my wife turn it off. I shouldn't say that. She kept watching it. I left because I was bored. But again,
you're like, I'm not Josh. I'm out of here.
And I went and watched American Satan. Because you know my relationship with him. Mainly the reason I turned it off and walked out was, one, I knew nothing about it. I didn't know that they bought it from Sundance. Hilary Swank has been in two great movies and two great performances. Won Oscars for both of them, but then has made a lot of shit. Especially in the horror sci-fi realm.
Yeah.
So I just assumed, it was on Netflix. I didn't know much about it. They don't market it well. And
yeah, it arrived it was gonna out suck. Of nowhere, like the typical Netflix thing. Like, I read about it, and then, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm. It definitely got buried by Black Mirror, which was way better, I'll admit. But, it definitely came out at a weird time. They should have pushed it a little more.
But had I known that this was going to be on the podcast, I might have watched it a little harder. Because we're not talking about American Satan on the podcast. Always Be My Maybe.
Ali Wong and Ken Park are the stars here, and you've seen them in many other things. Ali Wong's done a lot of stand-up, and Ken Park has been in a few of Seth Rogen's movies. Here they're the leads, and it's a story about a couple of people who kind of misconnect a number of times throughout their lives. They grow up as friends, they lose their virginity to each other, and then they fall apart from there and then get back together and fall apart again. And funny movie. The story kind of takes a little while to get going, and you got to buy in on these characters pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I could see where people will be put off. Ali Wong's character especially is kind of absent for a little while, and you kind of do lose your connection to her. She's a celebrity chef, and he's stuck in San Francisco. His mother died when he was relatively young, and he kind of got scared and never left home, and she's been all over the world. And The funniest part of the movie is what probably people have heard most about this movie is Keanu Reeves.
Oh, God, I love that.
Keanu Reeves playing himself as a guy who's dating Ali Wong. Not playing himself. He's playing Keanu Reeves as a heightened character, and it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. He's a complete douchebag, just beginning to end, just an absolute douche. And when Ken Park punches him in the face, it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely the highlight of the movie. Like, I appreciate when people can actually write a good part for Keanu. Like, obviously, we've seen with John Wick, like they're finally starting to get it. And this movie, they went overboard, and it was worth it, man. It was wonderful. Oh man.
And Ken Park wrote a great song about it. Literally, the end of the movie is a song that he wrote called "I Punched Keanu Reeves."
Yeah, definitely stick to the credits.
Very funny. It's very funny. I punched John Wick in the face. Like, that's fantastic.
You know, talk about a guy who's had a great last, especially the last year, but probably the last 5 or 6 years, Keanu Reeves.
Except for Replicas. Let's not forget about Replicas.
But in terms of just, you know, obviously this got a lot of press with that scene. And, he comes out and does a late night show and says what happens after you die, and everybody goes nuts over it, and his plane gets rerouted. Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No.
I don't remember what late night show was, but they asked him what happens to you after you. I never even watched it. I just saw all the headlines on it, and he just kind of gave a very just comforting answer to everybody. Google Keanu Reeves and what happens after you die and something. I mean, I didn't watch the clip because
I hope
don't
it's
do
a
that.
Surfing metaphor.
But then, there was that plane.
I bet it was Graham Norton. It was probably Graham Norton.
Yeah,
probably
that makes sense.
That sounds like a Graham Norton clip.
It was either him or Colbert, I think, but I'm not positive. And I don't know. And then he had that plane that got rerouted, and he had I don't know. You'd have to look it up. But he could have gone and got a personal ride elsewhere. Had a car pick him up, and he decided to go on the bus with everybody else. I don't know. It's a long
He was also in last year's worst movie, too. Just saying.
Oh, he's been in the worst movie of all time. Knock, knock. And that was in the last 5 years. But in terms of just good press he's been getting, it's been...
Do not watch Destination Wedding with him and Winona Ryder. That movie is utter garbage.
I don't want to.
Yeah, it's awful.
But do watch Knock, Knock. I do recommend it just for the... I mean, it...
The sheer what-the-fuckery.
And not... I mean, it's not like Nicolas Cage, like, what the hell's going on? It's like... Oh my God, Eli Roth's going to kill his career. Clearly he didn't, but...
That man's career really can't die.
No. Eli tried really hard.
He just keeps coming back.
And he comes back bigger and bigger every time.
Yeah. But I really like Ali Wong. I do. I bought into the character, even as a celebrity chef, which is such a cheesy movie role to play. She makes it real a little bit, and I dug that. And Ken Park's a pretty funny guy. I've not watched much of Fresh Off the Boat, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, he delivered all his lines like perfectly. His comedic timing is like real impressive. Like, I want to see more out of him. I want to see him like pop up in more things than just like being Kim Jong-un. Or like, I haven't seen Fresh Off the Boat either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want to see him like do more stuff like this, because this was a treat. This was a fun time.
He's a hell of a musician too. The songs he comes up with in this movie. There's a great bit about tennis balls that just floored me. I loved that. I loved that.
That was one of the better songs of that movie too. Like, that was good.
It really was. His music is very unusual, and I loved that. Like I said, the movie does kind of have fits and starts to it, and you know, it doesn't have it's not a clean narrative. A lot of the young makeup that they use is really cheesy to make them look like they're teenagers. They're clearly, obviously, not teenagers. But the bad makeup they use for that is kind of off-putting. But other than that, though, it works well enough.
Well, both I Am Mother and I'll Always Be My Maybe are over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, so there's that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event for the linear, legitimate, and universally recognized, undisputed classic.
Hot Rod.
Yeah, this was picked by our guest host, Zach, and I continue to have this experience with Andy Samberg in Lonely Island where, I don't know, it feels like I'm like they age me when I watch them. Like, it's like not being able to understand modern music. I watch Lonely Island stuff like this, and I know that's the joke. Mm-hmm. I know what's intended to be funny, and I just don't laugh, and I'm not sure why. I can go, I know that what he just did is funny, but I'm not laughing. And that experience over and over and over again is Hot Rod for me. I don't laugh during this movie. I get what they're like, the broad nonsense that they're doing, where he puts on a fake mustache to be his Hot Rod character when he's doing his jumps, and the fighting Ian McShane thing. I get it. I get the joke. I know where the joke is. I don't laugh. He basically is a stuntman. He's trying to raise money to save his stepdad who needs a heart transplant, and he's going to do a giant stunt to do it. And the movie is basically just a series of setups to him doing gigantic physical humor along the way. Isla Fisher is playing a girl that he likes, and he has a very awkward approach to that's rarely ever funny. She's adorable, but... There's just no chemistry there at all in terms of romantic chemistry, and the only reason that they get together is because this is a movie, and that's what has to happen. And yeah,
the dorky guy needs to get the girl.
Yeah, and Will Arnett's playing the most obviously like over the top douchebag ever in a movie.
He's good at that.
He is good at that. But yeah, even he didn't make me laugh though.
Yeah, this is one of those movies. Like, I completely understand what you're coming from. I get that.
Right.
This movie came out when I was 14. So it's pretty much, like, it stuck because it hit me in those formative years. And then it's just like, oh, I love stupid shit. I'm in. Like, I'm all on board for all this. Like Ian McShane at his most, like, Ian McShane. Like, I loved that. Like, granted, I don't have a stepfather I want to, whose ass I want to kick, but like, I felt that. Like, I get that he wants to get his respect before he dies. But it's just one of those movies that's like, it's just like a warm hug. Like, I have a shitty day at work, I'll come home, I'll just throw this on, and like half hour, I'm good. It's just dumb. Like, it just reminds me of me and my friends in high school, man. This is just like, this is comfort food. This is wonderful.
I mean, I was fully prepared for Sean to like this. I don't know why. And to your point, you know, when I was 13, 14, that's when Billy Madison came out, mm-hmm. and Ace Ventura and Tommy Boy and all those movies. And this is kind of that movie 10 years later,
oh, yeah.
or whatever,
oh, yeah.
or however long ago. Oops, I got to unplug this. Phone's ringing. So I get it. It's funny because, you know, I'm assuming these guys are probably closer to my age than yours, because a lot of the things they, you know, Europe, the whole soundtrack's like Europe deep cuts. That was the first record I ever owned. So I enjoyed that part of it. It was a lot of fun for me. But, I mean, it really is, you know, it's kind of like what Adam Sandler was 10 years prior. Not as successful, but still... It's also Andy Samberg's first movie, so he doesn't know really what he's doing. And they just said, hey, you're having success on Saturday Night Live, do this. And I don't know. You could tell he had fun with it. And while I may not have laughed out loud at all the times, I did have fun with it at least. It was, you know, it's a harmless, you know, easy movie to watch. My son wanted to watch it again. He liked it a lot.
I didn't hate it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. But I get it. You see, it's the same experience I had watching Popstar. Like, I know Popstar is funny, but I just don't laugh.
It makes me wonder, though, because I was fully prepared to do the Adam Sandler comparison, because it really does. Like, the whole mustache thing is something you would see in an Adam Sandler movie.
He was like a funny voice away from it being an Adam Sandler movie.
And my whole thing was going to be, you know, if Adam Sandler didn't make a movie 2 or 3 times a year, you know, nonstop since Billy Madison, would you hate him as much?
Probably.
Because this is as bad or good as those. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not any better or worse. It's the same thing, but you didn't take that stance, so I can't make that argument. But it's, I don't know, it was fun. You know, it was cool to see a young Danny McBride be Danny McBride. Even Bill Hader was pretty... I don't know. It was just neat to see them, you know, that age. And I don't know. It was an easy watch, fun, free on streaming. So I was happy.
Yeah, when Sean asked me to pick the classic, I had a list, and this was the one that I thought he'd hate the least. Like, I intentionally picked
Good
this
God.
One. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What else was on that?
Well,
list?
I almost forced you to watch Gremlins too, because I know you love Gremlins, dude. But I was like,
Key and Peele sketch.
But yeah, I picked this one just because, like I said, this one's just near and dear to me, and I knew it would be the least offensive to you.
And I'd never seen it, so it was kind of, I love the Europe references, nothing else. I wish it would have been nothing but that. That was the lack of consistency with actually putting in other songs besides just Europe deep cuts. Because they never played the Final Countdown either. It's like everything else.
I thought
but
they played
that.
It during that one where he got blown up.
I can't remember.
I don't think so. I didn't think they did. I didn't notice
it. I thought the joke of that scene was that they're playing the Final Countdown and then he starts the explosion before the Final Countdown.
I don't think so. I think he just was an idiot and just like detonated the charge before. Like,
I suppose it's possible, and I just missed it. Maybe they started that. I don't know, the opening intro thing. I missed it. If they did, I thought they did. I can't remember. The biggest hit they did was Cherokee. It was the one that got a single.
But I really appreciate that they snuck in Queens of the Stone Age there at the end and dressed them all in like 80s rocker clothes. And
yeah. Oh, is that who that was?
Oh, yeah.
There's another joke I didn't get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad I got to see it and it made for an easy watch this week.
It wasn't like, it's not unpleasant like an Adam Sandler movie, so there's
it's
that.
It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing.
Sandler's nasty and mean in his movies, whereas there was
no
nastiness.
You project all that on Adam
there's
Sandler.
There's no nastiness in this. And there's no dogs fucking each other in this movie.
So is that a pro or a con?
That's a pro. That's damn. In the movie's favor. There wasn't one joke where a dog is just sitting there licking itself for 2 minutes.
I mean, again, that mustache where he couldn't grow pubic hair is an Adam Sandler joke.
Yep.
Anyway, I had to unplug my phone, so we're not going to have a clip for 89, but what came out 30 years ago, Sean?
It was Star Trek V, The Last Frontier.
Final Frontier.
The Final Frontier, whatever the fuck it's called. This movie sucks. I mean, it sucks on a level of, like, the original Star Trek, the motion picture. Like, it's that. It's actually, I can't tell which one I hate more. I really hate Star Trek, the motion picture, a lot. This is Shatner directing this time, and so we open on Shatner. We open on a character climbing El Capitan, one of the most difficult climbs in the world, and he's free climbing it. No gear or anything. He's just free climbing El Capitan, and you're like, who the hell's that guy? And you can't see his face. They make sure you don't see who it is that's climbing. Like, why are we watching this guy climb? And then suddenly it slowly dawns on you. That's supposed to be Shatner on the mountain. That paunchy 60-year-old Captain Kirk is supposed to be the guy who's lean, fit, muscular, climbing El Capitan with no gear on. That's supposed to be Shatner. Yeah, right. Oh, some of the worst green screen in history. It's so bad. And the scene is so long. And it goes on forever, and then that scene leads into a scene where he and then McCoy are trying to teach Spock how to sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. This is a scene in this movie. This happens. And they're trying to get him to sing it in a round. And then finally the plot kicks in and interrupts, but good God, this goes on forever. And you're just hating the movie. You're just sitting there just hating this movie with all of your being, just projecting hatred at it. And then Shatner goes and meets God.
Wait, what? I'm a Star Trek novice.
Real God, but yeah.
So God, so okay, sure, have your fun.
This movie's just awful, just beginning to end, terrible. Spock has rocket boots on in this movie. He wears rocket boots twice.
Spocket boots.
So stupid. I hate it. I hate this movie.
Yeah, I'm not a Star Trek guy, so my dad was. I saw it way back when, but I don't remember it, and I don't have to watch it, and I'm not gonna.
So you like Star Trek?
I've seen the new movies, yeah. And Wrath of Khan, but I am not a Star Trek guy. Like it's one of those things that like I respect, and I keep telling people that I'll watch it eventually, but it's been 26 years. I haven't yet. I don't know if I will.
There's no need. No need whatsoever to go back to these. These are even Wrath of Khan is like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But the other ones, there's no necessity to see any of those movies, especially Star Trek the Motion Picture, which begins with that interminable 30-minute scene of them just flying up to the ship for the first time, and it's just these money shots of just the ship and them looking at the ship in awe, and literally it goes on for 30 minutes.
Ugh.
It's awful.
That's the main reason I'll never really get into Star Trek.
I don't give a fuck about this ship.
The only one I don't remember Wrath of Khan, but I remember part 4. Like, I think when Josh really liked that
the whales,
one.
Whales, yeah.
That one, the dolphins.
Dolphins. I know it was whales.
I know it was whales.
Okay.
The joke was his wife, Beth, kept calling them dolphins. But to me, that was like a Rocky IV version of Star Trek. It was just kind of this fun little watchable movie that didn't matter.
Directed by Leonard Nimoy, who actually can direct. As opposed to Shatner, who sucks.
I'm going to climb a mountain.
I'm going to look so strong.
Speaking of climbing a mountain, I think they're remaking Cliffhanger.
With who?
Shatner.
But that is our show. Like I said, I unplugged everything, so I'm going to hold off on the Patreon stuff. I'll put that in next week because we did have some changes there. But I do want to thank our Patreon supporters. If you want to be a supporter, head over to ihatecritics.net/Patreon to get yourself a credit on the show, or go to PayPal and donate that way. You'll still get a credit. Or you can buy the podcast merch at ihatecritics.net and click on the podcast merch link. Next week, our show consists of Men in Black International, Shaft, Late Night, and hopefully The Dead Don't Die. In 1989, Ghostbusters 2 turned 30, and our classic for now, it's Shaft. We're going to definitely watch Shaft. Michael is going to come back on the show, and he may add another movie as well. But yeah, that should be a jam-packed week. Looks a little more fun than this week was. At least in terms of movies. Not me and Zach here has been great. We've had fun with the show. But the movies we had to watch were not all that fun to watch. So subscribe to the show, rate and review the show, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and help us grow the show. Otherwise, we'll see you next week, and if you want to stick around and listen to us play a round or two of Flickchart, you can. Do you want to stick around and play Flickchart?
What's that?
You never heard of Flickchart?
No.
Oh, yeah. Flickchart is basically you put two movies against each other, and you pick one.
Oh, okay. I'm down.
All right. Well, we'll start with Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, Raiders.
It's Robin Hood for me.
I may have turned on Indiana Jones on the last episode, but I'm not going against Raiders.
No.
I will. Schindler's List or Secret Window?
Oh, man. Because I never want to see Schindler's List again, and I love Secret Window. Oh, man. I'll just respectfully say Schindler's List and just kind of cower in a corner.
Yeah, that's Schindler's List.
I agree. The Fountain or Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi version?
Spider-Man 2. Arguably the greatest superhero movie ever made.
It's pizza time. I'm all on board. I love me some Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Even the third one. I'm in.
I like the third one, too. I understand why people don't, but...
It's the same reason why I like watching, like, Batman and Robin. It's fun, it's bad, oh my god, I love it.
You can just tell that they're like, look, we need to get all these characters in here, and he's like, I don't want it, whatever.
Money, please.
Sandlot, Beethoven.
Ugh, for once I'll have to say Sandlot.
Yeah, Sandlot.
I agree. Signs, RoboCop 87.
Oh, Signs all the way.
RoboCop?
I hate RoboCop.
Oh, I kind of hate you a little bit now. Ooh.
It's Signs for me as well. The Evil Dead 1981, Scream 1996.
Good one. Evil Dead.
I'm going to go with Scream.
That's Evil Dead for me. But I think that could be a generational thing.
Well, if we're going to talk Evil Dead 2, we're going to have to actually have a discussion.
The Hunt for Red October, The Others.
The Others.
The Hunt for Red October.
It's The Others for me. What's the name of that character? Jack Ryan? I'm not a fan of those movies.
Jack Ryan to a point.
Yeah.
Bedazzled, Donnie Brasco.
Donnie Brasco.
I haven't seen either of those, so I'll go with Bedazzled.
I was going Donnie Brasco anyway. American Hustle or Sleepless in Seattle?
American Hustle.
Yeah, American Hustle.
Easy. Up About Schmidt.
Oh, man. Wow, that's tough. Up.
Yeah.
Kind of the same movie in a lot of ways.
What do you think about it?
Even the poster. Oh, this is fun. 2001, A Space Odyssey, The Big Lebowski.
Oh, it's The Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
The Big Lebowski. I love 2001, but Lebowski is my favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clean sweep, then. Here's your Evil Dead 2 or The Land Before Time.
Oh, Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Weird Science.
Oh, man. Weird Science, because I just watched that movie again and again and again.
Yeah. I love that movie. Weird Science.
I know it's blasphemy. I know there's like people yelling at their podcast right now, but
They'll get over it. It's had its day.
I'm yelling inside my mind. It's the good and the bad and the ugly for me. I'll save everybody else here.
But it's time to shine.
I'm only one man. Speed or Toy Story?
Toy Story.
I gotta go with Toy Story.
I like Speed, though.
Yeah. My cat's name is Speed 2 Penelope Cruise Control, so it holds a special place in my heart, but Toy Story all the way.
Speed. The Breakup, Alien Resurrection.
The Breakup.
I'll go with Alien Resurrection.
I'll go with The Breakup. It's just nothing more than the opening scene at Wrigley Field where Jon Favreau's in the Sox gear.
That's good.
Ooh, History of Violence and Old School.
History of Violence.
Old School.
Because History of Violence is a better movie, but I really love Old School. I'm going to go Old School.
All right.
1408 Super Troopers.
I hate Super Troopers. 1408 is a bad movie, but I'll pick it over.
I'm going to pick Super Troopers because 1408 is terrible.
I'll go Super Troopers. That audience never gets their due on the show, and I feel bad. Karate Kid 3, Hot Shots Part 2.
Hot Shots Part 2.
Hot Shots.
I agree, but I do like Karate Kid 3. Blade Runner or Speed?
Blade Runner.
That one, I'll take Speed.
Hmm. I'll take Blade Runner.
Not a fan of Blade Runner?
I've seen it, but everyone, I don't really know exactly which cut to, fall onto. Like, I watched the director's cut, but I don't really know what the definitive one is, so Speed, there's one cut, and I've seen it a million times.
There you go.
That's a good reason. Hot Shots Part 2, Into the Wild.
Into the Wild.
I'll go with Hot Shots.
Back to that History of Violence, Old School kind of. I'll go Into the Wild this time, although I do like Hot Shots. Enemy at the Gates, The Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
The Greatest Showman, Kill Bill, Volume 1.
Oh, Kill Bill.
Yeah, Kill Bill.
The Rookie, Pump Up the Volume.
Which The Rookie?
2002. It looks like the Dennis Quaid movie.
That's the baseball one, because there's a movie called The Rookie with Charlie Sheen and Clint Eastwood. What was the other movie?
Pump Up the Volume.
Pump Up the Volume all the way.
I can't remember if I've seen either of them, so I'll...
Pump Up the Volume was Christian Bale playing... He's Christian really young, Slater. Christian Bale. Christian Slater playing a radio DJ in a basement.
Oh, yeah, that one. That one, yeah.
Turns 30 next year.
Cool.
There you go.
Dracula, 1931, Harry Potter, and The Prisoner of Azkaban.
I'm going to go Prisoner of Azkaban, because even though Dracula is iconic, it wasn't exactly the greatest form of Dracula in terms of a movie. Mm-hmm. The character really does stand out, but that movie itself doesn't.
I'm going to go with Prisoner of Azkaban, but I really, out of all the Harry Potter movies, that's my least favorite one. Mm-hmm. So, very unpopular opinion there, but I'm going to stick with that one.
I'll go with Dracula, because you guys shoved Harry Potter down my throat in 1 week, and... There's just no way for me to truly respect it the way I should.
Oh, you had to marathon all that?
Did a bonus
with
episode.
Never being a big, and never seeing any of them. So we ended up. Yeah, I had to marathon it, I guess. I didn't care. I'm not a wizard guy, so that I'm already not interested. I don't care how good it is.
I like that stuff, but we were marathoning them at the theater back when I worked there. Had them for a week. So every night we'd watch one or two. Oh, that was so exhausting. I don't know if you were involved in any of that, Sean, but yeah, I had to skip a couple of them. I was like, yeah, I'll watch them at home. I wasn't. I just needed a break.
American Pie 2, The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah. I'll go with that one.
Ted, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974.
Damn it. That's so good. Yeah, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre all the way, because that is a genuine classic film. I love Ted.
I got to go with Ted.
It's Texas Chainsaw by a lot. And last one because I'm starting to hear feedback in my headphones. Daredevil in Chinatown.
Chinatown.
Yeah, Chinatown.